you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Coming up on the Under Center podcast, I talk with one of the most successful agents in NFL history, who's got to be excited about his client winning the Super Bowl and being named MVP. That's next on the Under Center podcast.
What it means to me to be a Chicago Bear, it's an easy question. It means everything to me.
It means rich tradition, black and blue division, defense, legends, linebackers.
The history of it. I mean, I'm a big history guy, so understanding this was one of the first franchises just kind of blows my mind, honestly, that I was able to be a part of that.
The city, just the nostalgia of playing for a storied franchise, the storied franchise of the running back position with guys like Gale Sayers and Walter Payton and being able to follow in those footsteps. So being a Bear means everything.
I mean, what more can you say?
The Under Center podcast is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, serving Chicagoland for over 100 years. Welcome into the pod. I'm Lawrence Holmes. Just finished watching the Super Bowl, and I'm glad that you are listening to some of the work that we did while we were in Miami. We had the chance to talk with a legendary agent, Lee Steinberg. He was on Radio Row. And obviously, when you talk to a guy of that magnitude, there's a lot of ground to cover. But the most important ground is that he's got Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be, or is going to garner the richest quarterback contract in NFL history, especially when you factor in that he won the Super Bowl at age 24 and was named Super Bowl MVP. So you can bet that he is going to get a pretty penny to stay in Kansas City for as long as he wants to stay in Kansas City. The great thing about Lee is that he also cares about the league overall. And while we were talking, we talked about the future of the NFL, whether it's the collective bargaining agreement, that conversation that's ongoing between the owners and the players union. There's even going to be a vote on whether or not the players want the 17-game schedule. But Lee got very serious talking about the struggles of ex-players and how he's trying to look out for players' health and safety right now. So an all-encompassing conversation with one of the most powerful agents in sports history. You know, the guy who they made the movie Jerry Maguire about? Yeah, that's Lee Steinberg, and you'll find out why coming up right now. So Lee, I have so many questions that I want to ask you, but I imagine that a lot of people right now are trying to find out, now that there's been a little bit of movement, we heard what the Chiefs have said about how they feel an extension might get done. How do you guys go about having Patrick concentrate on what's going to happen on Sunday versus the overall health of what his deal could end up being?
We're not even thinking about that. He's got the biggest game of his career right now. He's already got a contract, so this is not an issue that we're worried about.
How did you get him? I was going back and reading a couple of the stories about it, but how did it come to pass that you would end up representing him?
So our practice has always been about role modeling an athlete, retracing his roots to the high school community, setting up a scholarship fund or Boys and Girls Club, work with the church, and then at the college level go back and lay down roots and set some form of a scholarship fund up. And then at the pro level, setting up a charitable foundation, like work done. The former running back just put the 175th single mother and her family, the first home they'll ever own, by making the down payment. And so we talked with Patrick's parents, his father, who had been a major league pitcher for a number of years, and his mother. and there was a values match. And usually you'll meet the player's parents before you ever meet the player because they're the screeners. And there was just a match there. And then when we finally met Patrick and saw how bright he was, how self-effacing, how he wasn't self-absorbed. He was very much into other people and friends and being a team leader. We knew that was a good match.
How important is it for you to make sure that you're able to get in front of the player so that you can find that match of spirit and match of opportunity and match of service?
Well, in our situation, you generally start with the parents who are the screening board. And then if that goes well, ultimately, you might not meet the player to the end of the year, but listening is an important skill. So I need to know what someone's values and priorities are. I also need to know, peel back the layer of the onion to get into their deepest anxieties and fears and greatest hopes and dreams. So you're not representing a player generically.
A lot of people are trying to get to know who Patrick Mahomes is through your experience of being his agent. Who is he?
He's someone who's incredibly grounded, who was raised by a baseball father, so he knows the highs and lows, and he stays in the moment. He's an incredibly hard worker who, what you see on the field is just like a glacier, the tip of a whole body of work that goes on. He's very outward-oriented, surrounded by family, friends, charitably oriented, is 15 in the Mahomes Foundation, is very good. And he's self-effacing, so he understands the team nature of the game and make sure to deflect the praise onto other people.
Obviously, you sign a guy because you think that he could be successful. Even in your wildest dreams, did you think he would be this successful this quickly?
It's the quickness of it that's different. He had the good fortune of sitting behind Alex Smith, who was a very generous mentor to him, and I think that helps. That's the same thing that happened with Carson Palmer or Philip Rivers or Aaron Rodgers, and so having that year of just tutelage where you're not even playing was very helpful. And he's just getting better and better as a quarterback. People had trouble seeing that when he was at Texas Tech because their defense was such that they had to score on every play to keep up, and so it gave people the sense that he was a gunslinger, and they weren't projecting him past that to understand that he could take a 3-5-7 step drop and function very well in the pro game.
How do you feel like the business of football right now is doing, and considering that the CBA negotiations are going to come up soon, where do you think the health is and the relationship is between players and ownership?
First of all, we've never seen a sport this dominant. Not only is football, the NFL, the most popular sport by 3-1 in every poll, it's also the most popular television show. So if you watch the Nielsen ratings week to week, 5 of the top 10 shows. So America's in the midst of a love affair with football, and you have fantasy sports and gambling and jumbo scoreboards and big stadia. So financially, the sport could not be doing any better. The only thing I fear is that we have to keep addressing the concussion issue because it's the existential threat. So at our Super Bowl party on Saturday, where FIU, the university down here, and Wormhole Labs are the sponsor, we do a concussion seminar prior to the party where we bring in neurologists from across the country to talk about awareness, prevention, and cure.
So how concerning is this for the players that you represent? You talk to them, I'm sure. I'm sure it's not just your own concern, but theirs on what their future is and what they're putting their bodies through by playing the game.
The problem is that players tend to be in denial, so that they think they're going to live and be healthy forever. And so part of being a football player is to ignore pain, be stoic, accept those behavioral norms that are different than we have. If you and I went out, I can speak for myself, and got hit once in a football field, we'd be in bed for 2 weeks. You know, we wouldn't be coming back. So this young Tua Tagovailoa we have is healing very quickly. That wouldn't happen with a normal body.
Speaking of Tua, you saw my Roll Tide on my laptop. I'm a proud graduate of the University of Alabama. Talking to you and watching you on Facebook, I felt like you guys were a really good match. Like you were exactly the type of agent that would fit Tua and his family. What was that process like convincing him that he and you could be a good partnership?
Well, the meetings were with his parents again, with Nalu and Diane, and again, strong family values, faith-based, and so we knew that those values matched, and Tua is sort of preternaturally mature. He's really grounded and focused and has that personality that is a leader. And also, it's so hard to find a franchise quarterback today. In a quarterback-centric league, it's really hard to win without one.
How close was he to going back to Tuscaloosa?
I think he really struggled with it because he and Nick Saban had a unique relationship. He loved it there. He was not just another player who went through Alabama. He embraced their whole philosophy. He was a fiery leader, and I think it was very difficult for him. But at the end of the day, the real question is, are you ready for that next step? And so he got all sorts of information from the NFL. They give you a round projection. The scouts will give you look at your film, talk to his parents, talk to everyone. So he struggled and agonized and ultimately made that decision.
You talked about the concussion seminar that you're going to have at the party. The party itself is a big deal for Make-A-Wish. Why did you want to make sure that this was something that got done inside the big party that is Super Bowl week?
Because I don't think it's responsible to claim that you care about players and the fiduciary responsibility and then send them down the road to dementia without at least acting. So the good news in the area is that there's now a profit incentive to come up with a new helmet, to come up with a nutraceutical or pharmaceutical, to experiment with doing football without contact during the week. The Ivy League's doing that. And so they only hit during the games. So we owe it to ourselves because the brain is so central to consciousness to keep pushing on this until we find better solution.
Fire sprinklers don't work without water. Get your building's fire pump tested ASAP. Go to sprinklerfitterschicago.org or call 708-597-1800. Sprinkler Fitters Union Local 281, protecting Chicagoland for over 100 years. Was there a moment when the light kind of clicked on for you that this was a big problem?
It was way back in 1989 when I watched Troy Aikman get knocked out one day, and he wasn't moving for a while. So I thought, you know, I had Warren Moon and Troy and Steve Young and half the starting quarterbacks, and I thought, we need to find out more about this because doctors couldn't tell us how many were too many and what the ultimate aggregate of was. But we found out that three or more tends to trigger an exponentially higher rate of Alzheimer's, of premature senility, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and depression. And so we have to keep pushing on this front.
Do players that you represent, do you still keep in contact? Like, for example, a guy like Troy. Troy has been on the forefront of being someone who's been vocal about this. How worried are those guys as they're in their late 40s, early 50s, worrying about CTE and some of the other issues?
Well, I think that the best you can do is keep track of them so that you know that there's a certain number, and after that you face the risk. But every time a lineman hits a lineman at the line of scrimmage, it produces a low-level sub-concussive event. So you could have an offensive lineman walk out of football with 10,000 subconcussive events, none of which were diagnosed, none of which he's aware of, but the aggregate almost certainly does the same type of brain damage we're talking about.
Do you think that other agents care as deeply as you do about this issue?
I'm sure there must be some. I haven't seen them speak out, and my feeling is that when you're looking for someone to take charge and make a difference in the world, my father used to say, if you're waiting for the amorphous they or them to solve a problem, or political figures, older people, you could wait forever. The they is you, son. So that's sort of been my guiding light.
How do you feel about where you're at right now? Because I know that there was a time where you were very focused on just making sure that you were okay.
Right.
So how do you feel about the being back and being involved in the business of sports agency?
Oh, it's exciting. We still have charitable community programs. We have athletes speaking out against bullying and domestic violence and all sorts of different issues. So that's great. And having a quarterback in the Super Bowl, this is the biggest celebrity-making event we have in American sports, because it escapes the narrow genre of hardcore sports fans and reaches out to make someone a household name.
It seems that he's embraced it. Patrick seems comfortable in the spotlight, and that's not easy for everyone, especially at this level.
I think so much of it was growing up with a baseball player as a father and watching the nature of ephemeral fame and how it comes and goes. And it's all about being grounded and in this moment and not thinking about anything except focusing on this, but also having some fun with it. You know, we're here on Radio Row, and what happens is that you have so much coverage of the Super Bowl that if a player performs dramatically, they cross over out of the narrow genre of hardcore sports fans and they become an American icon.
If someone wanted to follow in your footsteps, what advice would you give them?
Well, the first thing, the key on, we do agent academies. We've had one in Chicago. We do sports career conferences. So if you look at SteinbergSports.com, those are educational programs I've set up to bring along the next generation. But the most important skill in life is listening. It's drawing out another human being so that you truly can see the world the way they see it.
Lee, I appreciate your time. I've always found you to be an honorable man, and I thank you for sitting down with me.
It's been my pleasure.
A gigantic thank you. It was a real honor to talk with Lee Steinberg, and I'm glad that he is using his parties at Super Bowls as a way to do good in the community and raise awareness about head injuries in football. He's fighting the good fight. And he's going to be rewarded financially. I know that, with having Patrick Mahomes as his client. How can he not be? But this is a guy who reps some of the biggest and brightest quarterbacks in the NFL. And it was great to spend some time with him down on Radio Row at Super Bowl 54. If you missed any of our coverage leading up to the game, I know you're thinking, Lawrence, the game's over. Do I need any more Super Bowl coverage? Yes. You should go back and listen to old episodes that we had, starting in episode 298 from Radio Row, because there was a ton of Bears content in there. So go back and listen to the interviews with Robert Mays and Kevin Clark, and listen to the Jarrett Payton interview. There's a ton of stuff that you can take. Chris Sims was unbelievable, away from what we did over the last week at the Super Bowl that has almost nothing to do with the Super Bowl. Thanks for listening today.